Welcome to the Closet Mastery Course, creating a magical space where children love to learn. You are listening to Lesson 6, Sparks and Great Ideas. Your presenter is Marianne Johnson.
In this lesson, you will learn what a spark is and how to respond to them. You will be given examples of how to use sparks to keep your closet filled with inspiring content. We will also explore what to do if you aren't happy about a particular spark your child is giving you. You will learn what to do with your own great ideas. A spark is anything that a child says or does that lets you know they are interested in something right now. It can also be an event which generates interest in a certain subject. The first step in using sparks is in recognizing them. The second step is in responding to them. You have to be prepared to respond when the interest is present. First, let me give you an example of a spark that was generated by an event. One of the families I worked with during structured family learning time went for a walk. And as they were taking this walk, they found an envelope on the sidewalk that belonged to a man who lived down the street from them. They had never met this man before. But they went to his door and returned the envelope. While they were there, they discovered that he had lived in Africa for quite a long time, and he invited them into his home. He shared with them lots of information that he had learned while he had been in Africa and showed them a lot of mementos that he had brought back. The whole family, the mother and all the children, were so interested in this event. Now, the mother was just learning about sparks, and so when she talked to me, for her that was the whole of it, just this wonderful experience they had. But what I wanted to teach her was how she could use this in her closet and really to help her children learn a ton of other things that they would really probably want to know about. So here is a list of 18 things that could have either gone into the closet or activities related to this African adventure that they had had one day on their walk. I would have started with the map. Where is the country that he actually lived in, and where is it in relation to the whole continent of Africa? I would have put books on the steppe, the jungle, the plains, and let my children see the diversity of the land itself in that huge continent. You could add wooden animals to paint and make a mobile or hang on the wall, a book on masks and a material to make them. You could learn about stone tools and how they're used and then make some stone tools. You could learn about making fire without matches. You could learn about minerals and diamonds and which come from that continent. You could learn about the African environment in different countries and does it compare to where you live? How is it in relation to where you live? Create an African environment in a tub, and there are so many different types of environment on the continent. You could create a diorama in a box. You could have things in the closet that have to do with the African economy. What does their money look like, and how does commerce work in Africa? That could lead you to some historical things about the country. For example, where is Kush, and who are the Phoenicians? You could show them tally sticks, and I found a game on the internet using tally sticks, and also you could have a store and use tally sticks. You could talk about Egypt, for goodness sakes, which is on the continent of Africa, but you don't think about Egypt as being part of Africa. And of course, then you could learn about the pyramids and levers and tales from Africa and African cooking. In fact, you could cook a whole entire dinner. And if you were fortunate and really thought about it and put your energy out there, you maybe could even meet someone from that country who could come and talk to your children. I know right now I have friends from Liberia and Ethiopia and Nigeria. Here's an example of a spark generated by a child. Kendon was an 11-year-old boy that I worked with. And one of the things that Kendon liked the most was math. But he and his mother had constant problems over math because she was really worried that her children not get behind their peers, and so she wanted him to do so much math every day. And he really rebelled about that. And so when I was doing my interview with him, because the topic had come up so much, I asked him, Kendon, what is your favorite subject? And he said, math. I love math. So I asked him, well, what is it about math that you like? He said, well, I really like just figuring things out. And I said to him, well, you'd probably really like architecture then. Now, I don't know anything about architecture, but I just always thought that it would take math. And he said to me, oh, I love architecture. Well, his mom was listening to this, but she didn't recognize this as a spark. I said, you know, Kendon really just gave you a great spark today. He loves architecture. So bless his mom's heart, she went to the library within the next day or so and got an amazing book on architecture that had tons and tons of pictures. And I happened to be there the day that Kendon found it, and they sat at their counter and just pored over that book together, talking about how buildings are made and what goes into making them. Now, this one spark of Kendon's, before I go there, let me say that one of the reasons Kendon's mother did not know he loved architecture is she had never talked to him about math. She had talked to him about math, the need to know math, the need for him not to be lazy, to, you know, learn math every day. But she had really never talked to him about math. What is it that he liked? How did he feel about math? And with just that very short conversation, I learned something about Kendon that really helped in the relationship between him and his mom. So how could we extend this spark, and what could we put in the closet that would really maybe give Kendon an opportunity to even go beyond just his like of looking at architecture? Well, of course, the book on architecture could be a number of books on architecture. You could have information on the ancient ruins of Rome and Greece, a totally different kind of architecture, and then find out, well, do we use any of those bits of architecture in our architecture today? You could take a day trip around your city to see architecture. I know here where I live, they give a tour of the Capitol and the wonderful county building, which has some great architecture to it. You could possibly find an architect that will let you visit and will talk to your child about his work. You could use different materials and design and build a house. You could try gingerbread, popsicle sticks, or thin cardboard. And really, when my husband was, I don't know, in his 30s, late 30s, early 40s, was very interested in a specific type of house, and he did sit down at the kitchen table and created a really amazing house plan, three-dimensional house plan with thin cardboard. And once the house is made, then it could be given to another child to play with. I received this email from a family that I was working with. This shows a three-year-old throwing out sparks right and left. My husband was cuddling with our three-year-old a few nights ago and asked her if she was ready for school in the morning. She said, yeah. He asked what she was going to do for school, and she said, well, we do closet box, it's fun. He asked what the closet box had in it, and she proceeded to list off a whole bunch of fun things that we have and that she likes to do, but I haven't added to the box yet. Talk about good ideas. So, you know, when you're paying attention to your children, when you're listening to them, you can find out all kinds of things they're interested in. I talked in an earlier lesson about familiar conversations, that when you're present with your children and you're having conversations with them, that's when you learn about them. And that's what I had with Kendon, was just a short conversation about math. Here's an example of a parent's great idea. And parents get great ideas and you mix them with the sparks from your children to get content for your closet. So this great idea actually came from me. One of the countries that I just have been most fascinated with my whole life is Japan. And in fact, I did every report in school that I can ever remember on the country of Japan. I even wrote to the government in Japan, and they sent me a great big packet of the most fascinating information. And so, of course, one of the things I wanted to introduce my grandchildren to was the country of Japan. And my closet was a perfect way to do that. So here are 11 things that I was able to put into my closet or do with my grandchildren to interest them about this country that I like so much. Of course, a map of Japan and a book or two on Japan with lots and lots of pictures. I introduced them to kabuki. We downloaded some traditional kabuki musical, and I even found at the library a video showing kabuki dancing. And we talked about how different that is from anything they had seen here and whether they liked it or not and what they liked and what they didn't like. I showed them different musical instruments used in Japanese music, and we listened to some traditional music. And their grandfather actually works in a music store, and so they're very familiar with all kinds of instruments, and so that was a really fun topic for us. Paper folding. And once we had folded a few things, we were able to turn them into mobiles and place cards for dinner. Japanese folklore stories, and it's interesting that in almost every country you can find some type of a Cinderella story, and we were able to, you know, read that and then compare it to Cinderella, to the Cinderella story we have here. Also, I talked to them about the cherry blossom festival, and I happen to live in an area of the country where we have a lot of fruit, and we were able to talk about, you know, what can you do with the fruit here, and are there any festivals that are held here in relation to fruit? And of course, that led us to talking about Georgia and peaches there, and they have a lot of peach festivals. And Japanese cooking is something I really enjoy and know a little bit about, a little bit, and we were able to cook Japanese food. So you can do this same type of thing with any topic at all: geology, music, art, astronomy, cooking, sewing, math, science, animals, geography, anything you loved as a child, virtually anything that interests you or that interests your child can be turned into activities and content for your closet. Now, what if you see a spark that you don't like? And that does happen sometimes. What if your son or daughter is enamored with motorcycles and you don't even want them to think about riding one ever? Well, I would recommend you respond to the spark. Don't be afraid to let your child learn about what interests them. However, let me show you how I would guide that spark to many different venues and open up even greater worlds to your child. First, explore where motorcycles were first made. Who invented them, what did they look like, and which country uses them the most? Study a little bit about that country and why they use them so much. What's the difference between dirt bikes and mopeds and motorcycles and Harleys and all of those things? What are the rules to drive a motorcycle? Visit a mechanic who works on them or actually builds them. What kind of education does he have? How much math does he need? Find out how engines work. Is there a difference between a car engine and a motorcycle engine and a lawnmower engine? Find a neighbor or family member who can help your child repair a lawnmower or a part on a car. And this would work even if your child's 5 or 6. The issue is not them doing it or learning how to do it, but even just observing these things being done. Who designs engines? Visit an engineer. What kind of work do engineers do? That could lead you to talking about the kind of work that engineers do. Get a book on rockets. How do they work? Build a rocket from scratch or use a kit. Find out about Cape Canaveral and what it takes to be an astronaut. Study space. So you can see how we've moved from riding motorcycles to studying space, and you can do that with any topic. Now, I just want to tell you that I wanted to address this issue because it has come up. Occasionally I'll get emails and somebody will tell me my child's interested in this, and for whatever reason, that, you know, they're not happy with it. And so I thought, when I was putting the presentation together, I just sat down at the table and I thought, well, what wouldn't I like? And my brother was killed on a motorcycle, and so it's not something that, you know, I would really want any of my sons being too involved with. But I know absolutely nothing about motorcycles, and so I just took the word motorcycle, and all the things I just told you I brainstormed in about 15 minutes. I just brainstormed. I could have done that while I was doing dishes or vacuuming. Just thinking, okay, if this led me to here, it could lead me to here, and where could that lead next? And that's what you do. You just brainstorm it out in your mind. And you write your ideas down. All of these things, you could do this over a whole year's time. It's not like you're just going to, in 1 week, move somebody from something of interest that you don't really like to someplace else. It's just a process that you go through. And in fact, you may find out a lot of interesting things about motorcycles that surprise you and make you become a little bit interested. And anytime you share an interest with another person, it improves relationships. Honor your children's sparks and use them to open the world to them. In the back of your workbook, in the closet journal pages, there's a place to record your child's sparks and your great ideas. There's a place to record your ideas on how you will respond and what your timeline for responding is. Let me give you a last example of using a great parent idea and also of using a child's spark. Jamie wrote to me and said, "Friday I was walking with a friend who told me about some caterpillar eggs she has hatched and that some have grown big enough that they have formed cocoons. A great idea. I recognized it. I asked her if she had any tiny caterpillars that I could have, which she did. She got me all set up with a cup full of water and milkweed stems. I walked home with our very own caterpillar, which is now set up in our schoolroom and is growing bigger every day." So the caterpillar was the great idea. Her children were very interested in the whole caterpillar thing and they wanted to know more. So how could this parent respond now that her great idea has sparked interest in her children? How can she use this interest to keep her closet magical for many weeks with just this one good idea and her children's resulting interest? Well, here are 7 ways. Books on moths, butterflies, and caterpillars from the library. Even for the youngest child, The Very Hungry Caterpillar or Inch by Inch. And then don't shy away from adult books. Just make sure there are lots and lots of colorful pictures because you can supply the commentary for the pictures. Crafts. Make some caterpillars. I found 6 different kinds on the web. Even found one of the cutest crafts where they actually turned the craft caterpillar into a craft butterfly. It was very cute. I found a DVD showing what happens in metamorphosis and how a cocoon is made. You could introduce the field of entomology to your kids. See if you can find someone who is an entomologist to come to your home or visit a museum of natural history. Give them a cool new word. Make it a game. So I looked for a cool new word and found lepidopteran, which I don't think I'd really ever heard before. And you could ask your kids, does anybody know what lepidopteran means? And then I found out that right here in Utah we have a Lepidopterist Society, and maybe you could find someone in that group that would come and talk to your kids or find out if anything's being presented where you could take your kids to learn more about it. Here's an interesting thing I found just because I happen to live in Utah, and I know that in Utah at one time they had imported silkworms. So because we live here, this is something I would be interested in teaching my grandchildren. And because I knew that silkworms had been imported here, I just did a search on silkworms in Utah. And right away, I found an old article from the Improvement Era, which is a magazine that was produced here, that would tell you everything you need to know. And it was written in 1939. It was so interesting. And I also found a child's view of what it was like to raise silkworms. Now that was really interesting. The child was talking about that you could actually hear the little munchy, crunchy sound all the time. Well, my grandchildren would think that was just terribly interesting. So that's my last example of a parent's great idea. Now here's my last example of a child-generated spark. So when my grandchildren were here last, we were filling up 2 china hutches with antiques and family mementos, and I was letting my 2 granddaughters help me. And one of the things that was being put in there were some beautiful crystals that I had received from my daughter. And my little 8-year-old Ashley asked me how crystals were made. First, she wanted to know what they were. She had never seen any before. And then she wanted to know how they were made. And I didn't really know, but I said to her, well, I bet we could find it out. So for the next 2 days, Ashley and Lizzie and I went on an adventure to find the answer. We learned about a lot more than just crystals. We learned all about volcanoes, and we made one. They learned the difference between lava and magma. We learned about Pompeii and mummies, which they thought were way yucky. We learned about rocks and the difference between sedimentary, igneous, and metamorphic. We even made a sedimentary rock. We made sugar crystals. We learned the difference between opaque, translucent, and transparent. And then we had great fun pointing those three kinds of things out all day long. We learned about gems, and we made a rock collection. We looked at dozens of crystals. We learned about salt and about gold and mining. We really had a wonderful time, and if they lived here, we could have stretched that learning out for days and days and days. Now, the question becomes, how do I find time to do all this research? How can I make it work in my real life? Now, remember that I laughingly say that your personal planning is all day, every day, while you slop up spilled milk, wash applesauce off a little chin, and break up the fight of the century. That is real life planning. Remember that I told you earlier, it's all about thinking and being open to receiving inspiration. You think. Real life planning is merely thinking about what you want to have happen to inspire your kids. Now, when I have an idea or I see a spark from one of my grandchildren, I give myself 30 minutes to gather information online. And yes, I do use a timer. Or else I could live on the computer. I type in the major topic, Lewis and Clark expedition, for example, and I open a Word document so that as I find ideas, keywords, or websites, I can cut and paste them. You can also write what you find in a notebook, but that does take more time. So I actually did this with the topic of the Lewis and Clark expedition. I used basically one site to get everything I needed for weeks of material for my closet. I scanned this site really quickly. I read what was on there for ideas and topics related to the expedition. I read the article and copy-pasted words, people's names, states, items, and other things of interest. And here is the list that I got just perusing for 5 minutes this one site. The Pacific Ocean, Sacagawea, Charbonneau, who is a French trapper, the Shoshone Indians, Hidatsa language, the Louisiana Purchase, grizzly bighorn, bison, prairie dogs, bighorn sheep, pronghorn, antelope, magpies, bitterroot, camas, wapato, which is a root vegetable eaten like a potato, the Blackfeet, the Teton Sioux, the Teton Mountains, the Missouri River, the Rocky Mountains, modern dams, the Columbia River System, Snake River, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, cartography, President Thomas Jefferson, keelboats, to name a few. Then I researched kids make keelboats because that interested me, and I found directions to make one from popsicle sticks. I quickly copied those, pasted them on my Word document so I'd have them. Next, I researched craft for kids and found canoes, teepees, totem poles, Native American dance rattles, and, you know, more things than you could possibly even make. I cut and pasted that site so I would know where to go when I was ready to put those materials in my closet. I gathered information on Sacagawea and her language, which is Hidatsa. I cut and pasted some samples of Hidatsa. I found some Native American recipes that I thought kids could make. I cut and pasted those onto my Word document. I also found a free downloadable picture of Lewis and Clark to color, which I saved to my computer so that I could find it when I was ready to put it in the closet. I had all this material stored on a document I could access anytime, and I did it in 30 minutes. I believe that most of us spend more than 30 minutes on our computers doing email or Facebook, more than once a week. You can find the time to do this, and you can get really good at it and very efficient. And when you're dealing with kids between the ages of 0 and 12, it doesn't take a lot of information for you to have enough stuff to have tons of familiar conversations, lots of activities, lots of crafts, lots of teaching moments. When your children are coloring the picture that you downloaded free off the internet on Lewis and Clark, then you just talk. Do you know what I found out about them? And you say something interesting, and then you wait. You see if anybody else says anything. And later during dinner, you can say, Dad, do you know what we talked about today? Did you ever learn about Lewis and Clark? You just have a lot of conversations. Remember that they will learn more from these conversations that you have all day long with them about things that you're doing that are of interest than if you hand them a workbook and tell them they have to do 3 pages every day for the next week until they get through this information on Lewis and Clark. So I just think this is such a fun way to work with kids. The 2 days that I spent with my granddaughters learning, my 6-year-old granddaughter and my 8-year-old granddaughter know a ton about rocks and volcanoes. And frankly, their mom told me they're remembering it because when they got home, they had to tell their dad all about it. You know, what was magma and what was lava? It was really interesting because when we started, I didn't know the difference between those two things either. So this is just really a fun way to interest your children. Now, for more detailed information on actual implementation of these research techniques and on using the library effectively, because you don't want to be running to the library, you know, 10 times a month, and efficient and being really efficient, then be sure and read the suggested articles in the workbook that you find on my website, which is home-school-coach.com. And in the workbook, you'll actually find the articles that I would like you to read. So let's review what we've learned about sparks and great ideas. A spark is anything that a child says or does that lets you know they're interested in something right now. It can sometimes be an event which generates interest in a certain subject for your children. A great idea is anything you are interested in that you want to share with your child. The first step in using sparks is in recognizing them, and the second step is in responding to them. And I want to remind you that on leadershipeducationfamilybuilder.com, they have 2 really great classes on the art of responding and the art of recognizing sparks. Honor your children's sparks and use them to open the world to them. Take time to research, but limit the time. Become efficient in finding material, using the library, and keeping your closet exciting. Before moving on to Lesson 7, complete the thinking exercises and the to-do list in the workbook for this lesson.